Amen. Hey, as you take a seat, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, there should be one nearby you. If you don't see one there, you'll see the words on the screen in just a few moments. But Mark chapter 4. I want you to imagine that you are standing on a cliff. You're standing at the edge on this cliff, and you look out, and you see a foggy valley that stretches for miles and miles and miles. And this valley is full of thick trees and shadows. There appears to be maybe swamps and jagged rocks down there, maybe occasional holes and cracks that lead into the depths of the earth all throughout this valley. I mean, the entire terrain, all of it, is unpredictable, uneven, and uncertain. And just by the look of it, it looks to be a dark and dangerous valley. And then you hear, coming from the valley, sounds of foreign wild creatures, screams and screeches, howls and growls. The sounds of the valley tell you that this place is dark and dangerous. And then you feel, escaping the depths of the valley, a strong and vicious wind whipping up and beating you against the face, telling you this valley is dark and dangerous. And so there you are standing on the edge of that cliff, and this reality strikes fear in your bones, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. Just the thought of descending into that valley just sends fear throughout your body. But then imagine, though, that there in the far distance on the other side of the valley is another cliff that is connected to and leads to a land like no other, a land that is full of beauty and wonder and light and peace and joy and life. And not only that, but imagine that the Lord is calling you to leave your cliff where you stand, to descend into that valley, and to come to the other side. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you accept the calling or avoid the calling? Would you hit the green button or the red button on your phone? Would you accept or avoid? Another way you might phrase that is, would you choose faith over fear or fear over faith? Faith over fear or fear over faith? Would you do it? I start with this illustration because it seems that God is almost always calling us into dark and dangerous valleys. And I've said that before. It's like he's always calling us into unpredictable, uneven, or uncertain seasons or situations. Moments where you and I cannot see the next step. Where we cannot see around the corner. Valleys that are full of dark and dangerous conditions or circumstances. But it's not for no reason that he calls us into the valley. His calling is always leading us to move and act by faith, but also calling us to something greater and richer and fuller on the other side of that valley. Whatever that valley is. For example, think of Abraham. The Lord called Abraham to leave his homeland, to leave that position, to go to an unknown land, because there were blessings on the other side of that journey. Think of the Israelites called into the wilderness because there was a promised land on the other side of that wandering. Think of Joshua called to Jericho because there were tumbled walls on the other side of their marching. Think of Gideon called into the valley with just his 300 to face an uncountable enemy because there was victory on the other side of that battle. Think of David, called to face Goliath with a slingshot because there was a defeated giant on the other side of that stone. Think of Esther, called to go into the king's inner room without being invited because there was deliverance on the other side of that dangerous confrontation. Think of Jesus, called to go to the cross because there was resurrection on the other side of that death. So often, almost seemingly always, the Lord is calling us into circumstances or into a condition or a season or a setting that is dark and dangerous. There's a level of unpredictability, unevenness, and uncertainty. And the question is, when He calls us, will we accept the calling or avoid the calling? Will we choose faith over fear or fear over faith? And we can ask that as individuals, but we can also ask that as a church. And this sets us up for today. Because today we officially enter into this capital campaign season. Don't worry, you'll hear about it for a few weeks and then it'll simmer down, I promise. Something we have entitled the Legacy Campaign. And I'm telling you as a pastor, and I know as a church, these kinds of seasons feel like God is calling us into a dark and dangerous valley, full of unpredictable, uneven, and uncertain moments. Because you and I, we're beginning to come together presently, today and over these next few weeks, but really over the next few years, to raise funds to start and complete major renovations and updates to key areas throughout our main facilities. For example, infrastructure, things like HVAC, brickwork. We got a lot of brick around here, mind you. Some brickwork, HVAC stuff. We're talking the worship center, the room that you and I are sitting in right now. We're talking staging, lighting, seating. Shout out to those of you up in the balcony. The worship center. We're also talking about the lobby, north and south entrances, internal and external signage. What we are doing is we are coming together presently and over the next few years to, again, raise funds to start and complete major renovations and updates to key areas throughout our main facilities. And today, especially at our luncheon, those of you who are able to attend, and over the next couple of weeks, you'll hear a lot about this campaign, some practical things that will go into this, including key dates, information on how you can be involved in this or what your role can be in this campaign. But why? Why the campaign? Let's start here with the why. Well, let's just say this. Over the past 125 plus years, God has blessed and expanded the legacy of this church, First Baptist Church, locally here in our community, but also globally. Our culture, yes, but even beyond our culture. God has used our church to advance the gospel of Jesus. He's led us to reach unbelievers with the gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, and to raise up believers who fully live in Jesus, like Jesus, and for Jesus. And make no mistake, He's not finished. For example, just the last 2 years, if we looked at baptisms, we have baptized in the last 2 years as many people as this church did the previous 6 years combined. God isn't finished. Our midweek ministries continue to expand and grow. We have now averaging over 40 children and 40 youth attending on midweek services. That hasn't happened in a very long time. We're seeing growth among our men's and women's ministries, our senior adult ministries, our Sunday school and life groups, our small group ministries. But on top of that, we're sending more groups on missions that will continue to expand as we look to grow our corporate partnerships in places like Ecuador and Rhode Island next year with places like, or with ministries like the IMB or NAM. But ultimately, God is not even close to being done with us. We're seeing numerical, financial, and spiritual growth across the board. And so the purpose, the why of this legacy campaign is to build on the past. These last few years, yes, but we're talking the last 125 plus years. It's to build on that, but it's also about continuing to engage the present. And it's also aimed at preparing for the future. So throughout the campaign, you and I are going to be encouraged to open our hearts and minds to God's vision for our church. But even now, you and I are challenged to pray. to pray for God's provision, that he would provide what we need for him to accomplish his vision. And we are challenged to ask him and to reveal to each of us, Lord, how much can I individually give above and beyond my tithes and offerings towards this campaign? Is it $5? Is it $50? $500? $5,000? $50,000? $500,000? But no doubt over these next few weeks, months, and years, the Lord is going to remind each one of us that you and I are better together, and that together, a little bit can make a big difference. But it's important to remember, though, that while we're working together in this, the legacy campaign, it's more about allowing the Lord just to continue to position our church, to continue to be an effective church who's continually advancing the gospel of Jesus to current and future generations. But hear me on this. This campaign, again, is a dark and dangerous valley. For us as individuals, but also us as a church, there will be unpredictable, uneven, and uncertain moments. Financially, spiritually, even numerically. And if you and I are to allow the Lord to continue to position us to be this effective church that is continually advancing the gospel of Jesus to current and future generations, just like those who've gone before us, who paved the way for us to arrive here in this moment, if we are to arrive at the other side of that valley, then we, like those before us, must choose faith over fear. We must not avoid Jesus' calling, but accept Jesus' calling to leave our cliff, so to speak, descend into the valley, and make our way to the other side in faith. And as we do, there are some important truths we need to be reminded of, and we must believe truths that actually we talked about over 2 years ago when I preached on this very passage, Mark 4, verse 35. Look there now. If you don't have a Bible, you'll see the words on the screen. And this is what we read in Mark 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Verse 36. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And verse 37, a furious squall came up, a windstorm, and the waves broke over the boat so bad that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So the disciples woke him and said to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Like, how can you be asleep right now? Don't you care what condition and circumstances we're in right now and how dark and dangerous of this moment we're in? How can you be asleep?" So Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind, and then he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Like, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? You don't think I'm in control? You don't think I control the election? You don't think I control the wind and the rains? Why are you afraid?" Well, they were still terrified, verse 41. And so they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So this boat, that night, has two images. Image one is of the disciples. Here they are in a storm. It's nighttime on the water, and they're in a dark and dangerous moment. This is a fierce, strong storm that has come upon them. The water is just overflowing the boat, threatening to take the boat down. And how did they respond? Well, their actions and their words revealed, and Jesus would later affirm this in his rebuke, they responded with a disposition of fear over faith. So that's one image. Then you turn the coin over, and you look at image number two, and it's Jesus. It's the same storm. It's the same boat. It's the same dark and dangerous moment, and Jesus is asleep. It's a picture of rest, of a non-anxious soul, of a non-worrier, a man not consumed with or crippled by fear. Jesus had a disposition of faith over fear, unlike the disciples who had a disposition of fear over faith. So the question is from this story, how can we individually and as a church follow the way of Jesus? How can we live the way of Jesus and be like Jesus, especially in dark and dangerous seasons or storms? How can we take a disposition of faith over fear? In any moment of our lives, as individuals, but even together as a church, especially when it comes to things like legacy campaign. Because again, there's uncertainty with this, an unevenness, an unknown quality to this campaign, a darkness, a dangerous element to it. Well, what if we don't dot, dot, dot? What if this happens, dot, dot, dot? What if this doesn't happen, dot, dot, dot? What if I can't, dot, dot, dot? It's a moment that is dark and dangerous. So how do we choose faith over fear? How can we follow the way of Jesus, especially in dark and dangerous valleys? Well, we need to know four statements that we gather from Mark 4. And you and I need to believe these four statements to be true, not just intellectually, but in the very real sense that they correspond to reality in our own lives, in our church's life, and speaking of the legacy campaign, even they correspond to our legacy campaign. And those who do, who know and believe these statements to be true, will possess a disposition of faith over fear, no matter the season or situation, no matter the condition or circumstance. Here's the four statements. God leads us. God is with us, God is in control, and God will deliver us. God is leading us into the dark and dangerous valley. God is with us in the dark and dangerous valley. God is in control of the dark and dangerous valley, and God will deliver us from the dark and dangerous valley. Meaning, the Lord will see to it. If we choose to go down into that valley with him in faith, with him in control, then he will see to it that we get to the other side. And basically all four statements are revealed in verse 35, and then they are played out or correspond to the reality in the following verses. So look at verse 35, Mark 4. And we read that Jesus said, two words, Jesus said, meaning who initiates the direction? Who initiates the calling, the command to go out into the water, to go down into the valley, to enter this season? It's Jesus. Jesus is leading them into the boats and onto the water. He's leading them into the dark and dangerous moment, meaning you and I, we can be in dark and dangerous circumstances or conditions right now, and we're exactly where God not only wants us, but exactly where he leads us. And then look at what Jesus said. He said, let us. Let us. Us, plural there. Implying that despite what's about to happen or where we're about to go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Meaning I won't leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, especially in the dark and dangerous valleys. Remember what David said. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will choose faith over fear. Why? for you are with me. You're with me. Let us. I'm with you, he's saying. Then he says, let us go to the other side. Meaning, disciples, despite what's about to happen, the wind and the waves that are about to seemingly overthrow your boat, despite what's coming, those dark and dangerous moments that awaits you, Jesus said, let us go to the other side, meaning he will see to it. If we choose to go down into that valley with him in control, then he will see to it that we will get to the other side. And only he knows what's waiting for us on the other side. All he asks of us, get into the boat, let's go together to the other side. Act and move by or in faith. And these aren't just words. Again, throughout the rest of the night, this journey on the water, you see these truth statements, they correspond to their reality, but let's look at them a little closer. Let's start with the first one. God leads us. Who led the disciples into the dark and dangerous moments? It was God. Who directed Abraham to the unknown land? It was God. Who directed Abraham to sacrifice everything, to surrender all on the table? It was God. Who directed Moses to confront Pharaoh? It was God. Who directed the Israelites into the wilderness? It was God. Who directed Joshua to the feet of the walls of Jericho? It was God. Who directed Gideon and the 300 down into the valley that night? It was God. Who directed David to confront Goliath? It was God. Who directed Esther to enter the king's room? It was God. Who directed Jesus into the wilderness? It was God. Who directed Jesus to the cross? It was God. Who directed the disciples into the boat that evening and into the dark and dangerous storm? It was God. And make no mistake, I'm absolutely convinced that God is so often the one leading us into the dark and dangerous moments we so often find ourselves. Moments that require faith, including this capital campaign season known as the Legacy Campaign that we're in together. It's God that has led us here. It's God that has led us here. But the second thing is who was with the disciples in the dark and dangerous moment? It was God. God is with us in these valleys. Who was with Samson when he defeated the Philistines? It was God. Who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire? It was God. Who was with Daniel in the lion's den? It was God. Who was with Peter when he broke out of prison? It was God. Who was with the disciples that evening in the boat, on the water, in that same moment with them? It was God. So I don't know what dark and dangerous season God might be calling us into as individuals. And I don't know where this legacy campaign will lead us, but I know this. No matter the season or situation, the condition or the circumstance, God will be with us. So fear not. Don't be afraid. He's with you in the valley of the shadow of death. Choose faith over fear. Accept the call into the valley. The third thing is, ask yourself, who is in control of the dark and dangerous moment? Who commanded the wind and the waves? It was God. Who was in control of the flood? God. Who was in control of Job's entire situation? God. Who was in control when Jesus stood before Pilate? God. Who was in control when Paul and Silas were bound in prison? God. And who was in control that night on that water and that storm? God. The wind and the waves obey him. That which you and I are terrified of, that which stands in our way, that which opposes us, obeys Jesus. God is in control of all circumstances and conditions. He is in control of any season or situation we find ourselves. And make no mistake, together as a church, he is in control of this legacy campaign. We can make all of our plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to act and react. But it's God who's in control. He will direct the steps. He's just simply calling us into the dark and dangerous moment in faith to go down into that valley, knowing that he's with us in that valley, and knowing that he's in control of that valley and all that we might face in it. And then finally, who delivered the disciples from the dark and dangerous moment and saw to it that they reached the other side? God. Meaning he proved true on his word. Let us go to the other side. The one who implied, listen, when I call you, when I'm with you, when I'm in control, no matter the dark and dangerous moment, we are going to the other side. Who brought Noah out of the flood? God. Who brought the Israelites out of the wilderness? God. Who brought Naomi out of her bitterness? God. Who brought Hannah out of her anguish? God. Who brought Jesus back from the dead? God. Who brought them to the other side that night? God. When God calls us, when he's with us, when God's in control, no matter the moment, we are going to the other side. And only he knows what awaits us. The question for us is will we accept or avoid his calling? Will we choose faith over fear? Or will we choose fear over faith? Again, there's two images here. Same boat, same storm, same valley, same dark and dangerous, uncertain, uneven, unknown moment. One displayed fear, the other displayed faith. And so here you and I, we're standing at the edge of this cliff, so to speak, and the question we have to ask is, which image will we be? Regardless of what's ahead of us on the water, which image will we be? Will we choose a disposition of faith over fear and accept the call, or will we choose a disposition of fear over faith and avoid the call? It's our choice. We decide. But remember what the proverb said, the fear of man lays a snare, a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Meaning despite conditions or circumstances, the fear of man lays the snares, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. As in, fear equals snare, faith equals safe. Despite the storm you're in, or the valley you might find yourself. So as we stand here together, may we together, as the scriptures say, may we trust in the Lord, faith over fear. May we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. Because as the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So fear will keep us from leaving the shore. It'll keep us from leaving the cliff. It'll keep us from the valley shore. But as a result, that fear will also keep us from what God has in store on the other side. And that's true as individuals. That's true in seasons like a legacy campaign. May we trust God, move and act by faith, knowing God is the one leading us, knowing that God is with us, knowing that God is in control, and knowing that God will see us to the other side. So listen, I'm excited for these days ahead. I'm convinced God's going to do big things in and through the legacy campaign. I don't know what those things are, but I think he is. Believe he is. But I also know the valley will be hard. It'll be difficult. It'll be challenging. Some things will change. Some things will never be the same. I'm not just talking physical structures here. But listen, Jesus is leading us. Jesus is with us. He's in control. And he will see us to the other side, one way or another. He will deliver us. So as those who have gone before us, may we choose a disposition of faith over fear, accept the call, and don't avoid it. And throughout these next couple of weeks, may we be prepared and be praying. Because God is going to use this campaign to further bless and expand the legacy of this church. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to invite the team forward as we have a time of invitation. Some of us, in walking through this passage, man, we feel like the Lord is not only leading us into a dark and dangerous moment, we're already in a dark and dangerous moment. The waves are crashing over the boat. The wind is whipping at us. And we're looking to the Lord and saying, God, don't you care? Don't you care that we're on the verge of drowning here? May we know it's God leading us, God is with us, God is in control. Whatever those waves are, whatever those winds are, whatever that dark and dangerous moment is, He's in control. And may we trust, may we act and react and move in faith, by faith, knowing He will see us through to the other side. We may not know what that looks like, we may not know when it comes, but He will see us through. So the Lord's just calling you to just a moment of trust. Maybe a moment of surrender. Quit holding on to surrender. And maybe surrender your fear, your terror. Asking, Father, give me a non-anxious soul. A spirit that just trusts you in everything and in all things. Give me that disposition of David, that even though I walk through this valley, I will fear no evil because I know you are with me. For others of us, maybe just as we enter into this special season, this legacy season, maybe it's just praying for our church, for humility, for unity, that God would move in and through this season, but in only ways that He can. And that He would get all the glory for us. Maybe it's just a moment just to pray for our church, for Him to provide what's needed. Even as I pray, no matter what the Lord's leading you to, compelling you to do, if you need to come forward and talk to myself, to Weston, you just want to come to these steps and pray. Even as I pray, you can come. Father, we thank you. We love you. You are a God who leads us. But you're also God who is with us. And we thank you that you are in control of all circumstances and conditions, that even the winds and the waves obey you, that no matter what is against us, no matter what is standing in our way, no matter what obstacle or valley is before us, you're in control. All things submit to you. In heaven or on earth, seen or unseen. And Father, may we trust and know and believe that you will see us through to the other side. However long it takes, no matter what's waiting on the other side, no matter what it looks like on the other side, help us to trust you, to choose faith over fear. Not just as individuals in our own individual seasons, but also collectively as a church in the season we find ourselves in and that we're entering into. Help us to be united and humble, choosing faith over fear, knowing you're leading us, you're with us, you're in control, and you'll see us through to the other side. Sure, we make our plans, but you're the one who directs our steps. And in all things, may you get the glory. In Christ's name I pray. I'm going to ask you to stand with us as we sing this song. We'll be down here if you need to come forward for anything during this time.